Hey folks, pleasure to be here. Such a great conference among such a good community and lots of open source folks and among friends as well. We're here to talk a little bit about Sirikara 8 because we have to actually highlight all the good things that we did for 2 years in 20 minutes. So please bear with me. My name is Peter. I met this gentleman here on my right at a project called Sirikara, open source project Sirikara, 16 years ago, where we still actually work and collaborate and donate a lot with the community. I am a Sirikara evangelist. I do a lot of QA and trainings for the project. And as I mentioned, I found with Eric, we co-founded a company called Stamos Networks. Would you like to say
so, yeah, Eric Leblanc, French, sorry for the accent. I'm the CTO at Stamos Networks and board member at OESF. And from time to time, I do the development on Sirikara.
So for those of you that are not familiar, Sirikara has been around. It's widely used by a lot of different organizations, folks and community. It's a threat detection engine that actually inspects the network traffic. It can generate any and all data relevant to forensics, malware detection, IDS alerts, the protocol logs we did, the file extraction, the PCAP. It has the whole capability, and it's been constantly evolving for the past 16 years.
It's a Swiss Army knife for a network.
So, born in 2008, 600,000 lines of code. Some of the major code creators are here in the room with us today, so super big pleasure to be here. It's written in C and Rust. It's, as it says, live packets on the network or dead ones, because we have to actually inspect the traffic regardless of whether the traffic is good enough or not good enough or following the RFC. Basically produces protocol transaction IDS alerts, PCAP, and it's actually characterized with very high performance and open source driven by a community, actually, not by a single person or vendor. It's actually a lot of collaborative effort. And it's actually governed by the Open Information Security Foundation, just to make sure that actually everything is proper. We stay open source. We cannot be bought. We cannot be sold. We're GPL version 2. But there is also a proprietary license for vendors that need so. So that also, we all want to make sure that the code is always open source and always there. But there's also ways to facilitate specific vendors if they need to. There is a lot of frequently asked questions and answers on the URL there if you need to have a look. So where Sirikara is developed? Actually, I'm actually super happy because one of the guys responsible for the 46% there is sitting right in front of me. Victor Julian, please raise your hand, man. Thank you. So he's the creator that put the initial code. another person that is responsible for most of the 16% is right here on my right, Mr. Eric Lebron. and it's, as you can see, it's a lot of collaborative effort. My part of this 16-year journey has been kind of sitting in between these guys and trying to convince them directly, indirectly, how bad their code is. But at the end, it all really works, and I'm evangelizing it the most I can. So, non-technical challenges for those 2 years of developing Sirikara, a huge variety of users, right? For mega corporations, if you actually Google AWS, but if you Google firewall AWS, Sirikara is actually the default firewall in AWS. So we have a lot of big usage, a lot of big vendors, a lot of researchers, hobbyists, trainers, professors, university students, sandboxing, online tools like AnyRun, Triage, and things like that. They all use Sirikara. Vendors, integrators of appliances. So, we have a very active community, all five continents, always there and always evolving. We need to keep all these people happy. And hopefully we're doing a good job, because if it's not useful, we wouldn't be here actually. So it has usage of what we do. And of course, consortium members. So we have to keep all of them engaged. Now, anything goes. from a Raspberry to 400 gigabit a second installation. So we actually have to do that at speed and with huge performance and be flexible. So the input is traffic capture. RFC doesn't really matter to malware, including some commercial, also some commercial vendors as well. So we need to actually be proper and inspect and catch all of these things, independent of threat intel ingestion. And we have to output in a default format that is easily ingestible by a lot of vendors. So, as I said, in these 2 years, we actually changed, adjusted, added about a quarter of the code of the whole body. And a lot of docs, a lot of Rust improvements and implementation for security and threat safety. So it was a huge effort by a lot of people and organizations, not just a couple. One of the things that was added and improved in Suricata 8 is we were using Demoto. If you can log it, you can use it in a rule or a signature detection, let's put it. Basically creating those extra buffers where you can point to the traffic and say, hey, I want to check something in here, but in an extremely fast way. One thing that we did in a greatly differentiative manner was adding 107 new keywords or buffers rather to Suricata 8. As you can see, all the way to the right of the screen, you have a purple line, and this is the difference for Suricata 8 and between all the other Suricatas that are from the orange one and below. So a huge addition in there. So a lot of new protocols came in, and if you're interested to see what the new buffers are, there's about 38% of those, so it's very easy to see that on the command line with Suricata --, list keywords. And all those buffers and detections have been added so that they can be used in the detection language, in the signature writing, with addition to different protocols, on top of the regular stuff that Suricata already does, the logging, and you can put in CM and actually do detection algorithmic there as well. Now, there were some detection limitations, and the Suricata team actually managed to fix those in a groundbreaking manner. First, the whole industry had a problem with that in general, the directionality of the rule. So in other words, as the example goes in here, you check based on a direction to client or to server when you're actually doing the detection. And it was kind of a signature, a simple signature, like the basic example like this. You actually needed two rules to detect, you know, one to the client and then the response to the server. So that was a limitation. So it had to be split in two signatures, and false negatives could happen a lot. So one way that this was fixed, and it was a long journey, but we managed to fix it, is actually the introduction of transactional rules. In other words, as you can see on the screen in here, you can actually say something like, if there is discontent and the server crashes, you know, a status code, content 500, I would like to be alerted. So that combines actually both things. So it was, that's one of the other things that were in there. So now, I shouldn't really talk about that because I didn't write it. So I'll transfer it to the guy that wrote the code for it, and he'll take it over from here.
Yep. So one thing that has been introduced by Victor, remember we were on the beach discussing that when I discovered about the feature was dataset, because a lot of things that we want to match is a list. So you'll get a list of domains that are potentially bad, you got a list of user agents that are potentially bad, and you want to match really fast on that. So that's the concept of dataset, ingest a list, write one single signature, and you will be able to match on this list really fast. So basically, you get the list of host names that are not correct, and you are going to write one signature, and it's going to you're going to match on that. But when you do that, basically, you are going to have all your bad people in the same box. You don't know why they are bad in the generated alert, and that was an issue. So what has been introduced in Suricata 8 is the capability to ingest JSON format, where we can get context on top of the IOCs, indicator of compromise, and we can use that in the signature language. So for example, here we say, if the HTTP host is in the set that is coming from this IOC.ndjson, and the IOC.ndjson is here, you got the IOC key and the context, and this is going to end up in the alert IOC check, one single signature, and then you've got the context coming into the event. So this allows you to directly knows why it is bad and why you have a problem. So here it's the cat, as everybody knows. That's how you name Icelandic volcano. So that's one of the features, and then another feature that has been done is part of adding a lot of keywords. It was also helpful to be able to add keywords because a lot of protocol had been added. So I'm not going to cover every one of them here. One of the most important for me is LDAP because it's heavily used in the enterprise in a lateral movement when somebody is already inside and try to take control of a full information system. But we also have some other protocols like SIP, ARP for low level, and DNS over HTTPS, Hello Friends from Firefox in the previous in one of the previous talk. And as mentioned by Peter, Suricata is parsing the mud. Everything goes. We need to do our best. People, for some people it's a sport to make us crash. So we need to be as best as we can. And experience has make us learn that, yes, we are not going to be able to get correct code and we need help from the language that we are using. So that's why we have switched from C to Rust for the new development mostly, let's say it like that, and with a big focus on the analysis of data coming from the network. So for performance inside the system, we can still use C, but if we want to parse a new protocol, it's going to be in Rust. And the increase of Rust has been huge from 2017 to 2025. We went up to 27% for a project that is 15 years old. That's quite cool. So that's a big effort that has been done in Suricata 8. The increase has been huge. And we also have worked on a Lua. So Rust, the big move that has been done is the parsing of HTTP. That was written in a C library, but is now built in Suricata, and is done in Rust. And we also have some other interesting parsing, like MIME parsing is a nightmare, and it has been moved to Rust. One big problem that we had in the past is that we had Lua since the beginning. It was looking like the best feature ever when we get the Lua support out. So basically, you have a signature on you pre-match, and then you want to say, okay, but what is going to happen if I don't have the keyword to access the protocol, or if the logic is really complex? And there you could just say, oh, I'm going to send the data to a Lua script, and because it's a language, I can write anything. So the concept is really interesting, but because when you deploy Suricata, you don't know, when you write a Lua rule, you don't know which version of Lua you're going to have, because it was the Lua from the system that was used. You don't know what modules were available, so everything was a problem. And also, Lua is a language, so if it's a language, it can do stuff, so it can must do anything. So that was another big issue. So that has been fixed in Suricata 8 with sandboxing to protect and try to avoid evasion. And also by being vendored inside Suricata, so we have exactly the same version for a fixed version of Suricata, so it's predictable for the user. For the rule writer, not for the user, sorry. One other evolution is Suricata as a library. So Suricata can now be embedded, or part of Suricata can now be embedded in some other software. For example, you have an HTTP proxy, and you want to add the capability to do Suricata analysis on it. So that's a development that you can do now with Suricata 8, I mean, part of Suricata 8. But another evolution is Suricata had a lot of running mode, and a new running mode has been added, which is a firewall mode, where Suricata can now parse and decide on the packet, on the flow, based on some metadata. So let's see an example that would be a little bit better. So, for example, you can say that you want to a block TLS version 1, so something really low level in the protocol. And so you can do drop on the flow, so you're going to drop all the flow. When the TLS server is negotiation is started, and you get the version 1, and this is going to block everything. So you can really use, go deep into the understanding of the protocol to write really advanced rules that are going to be applied. And one of the important things is that it's just not like signatures, it becomes a real rule set, like in firewall. It's sequential. You can predict what is going to be the decision, because with the traditional Suricata engine, you can have multiple signatures firing on the same packet, and the logic is completely different. So, big thanks to the team, big thanks to the community. A lot of features have been contributed by external people. For example, I was talking about the conversion of libHttp to Rust. It has been done by our Canadian friends that did contribute that. So the cyber security from Canada has done the conversion. And so that's the way it is possible. Thanks to the community and thanks to the great team at OASF. If you have questions.
Thank you. How good is Suricata, from your perspective, how good is Suricata for processing plain HTTP comparing with kind of specialized application firewalls? Assuming TLS is terminated already. So are you suggesting to use Suricata for everything, or we can just use web application firewall for HTTP, right, and Suricata for all the rest?
So I would consider Suricata as a good system to be able to go above the capacity that you could have in your application firewall, because the signature language is quite kind of powerful. But if you, I would say, that it's not specialized for that, it's not going to act as a proxy. So you will need to do a specific development for that. So yeah, it needs to be considered, but to be fully honest, I will not just go straight on that. I will try to see if I hit the limit of my actual system before going for that. But look at the capability of the Suricata signature. That can be interesting. But it would not be my first step.
Okay, thank you. Sorry, if I may, one more question. Regarding the, may you please clarify the rules ordering possible for Suricata? Like, can we package it kind of and make it apply a specific order? Or
yeah, so in the firewall mode, you can have ordering of the rules that is taken into account. But in the regular IDS or IPS mode, it's not the case because we are, it's simple, 9 million packets per second, 70,000 rules. If we go sequential, yeah, we're not going to do it. So we got optimization.
Okay. Do we have any other questions?
Hey, when we are talking about performance for, let's say, what are the capacity of our CPU that you need, let's say, for 1 gig of traffic? I know it's a very general question, but can you give us a general estimation of capacity and scaling of traffic?
For firewalling, you mean? Yeah. So for IDS, Raspberry Pi is enough for 1 gig. For IPS on the firewall, I don't have a number. I think we need to, it's a bit fresh. I'm sorry for that, but we need to do some evaluation.
Okay. Any other questions?
I just want to mention one more thing, not related to the question, but in general, because we are, if there are no more questions, because in general, because we are an open source community, we usually listen to everything that the community has to say, and super thankful that we can actually be here, folks. We also have something called Suricon, where we gather all the input from the security folks, the community, and all that. So more than welcome for any feedback is appreciated. But one person that actually consistently makes that and also makes sure that a bunch of gigs can run coherently is our president of the Open Information Security Foundation, Kelly Misata, sitting right here. Big thank you to her as well. So please make sure you ping her up as well if something is needed.
Okay.
Well, thank you very much, folks.
Thank you for that talk.